chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. I'd like to minister for a few minutes, preach on our thoughts. Our thoughts. Someone said that in the head, in the mind, is either the battleground or the playground. And I believe it. Found a quote that's really in time, and I don't have a doubt we have the Word of God here today. You know, it's not a matter of getting a sermon together, it's knowing what God's saying. And I have no doubt He's speaking to us. Watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Watch your words, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. It becomes our destiny. Isaiah chapter 55, I'm going to preach for just a few minutes, and then I want to show you a video of a man who has some things I believe that will, it's a short video, will help us. But in this text, it says in Isaiah 55 and verse number 7, don't know if it's in the works back there, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Therein lies the battle, folks. "And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, God says." If you are, and I are to be effective children of God and keep the will of God in our life in this sin-cursed world, then our fleshly nature has to be under control. It's an amazing thing. It has to be brought into subjection every day, or the will of God will not be realized. Someone said that God has left the old sin nature there for a discipline. And wherever God is about to do something new in my life, or in, I believe, anybody's life, there is a battle in the mind. I remember years ago going across the country with Eden, the rock band, preaching in university campuses and parks and places where there were thousands of young people. But always before I would go on those trips, whether it was in the States or overseas, I would have a horrendous battle in my mind. Oh, uneventful things, car wrecks, somebody doing something terrible to us, something happening that we couldn't control. But to know the will of God is important, and to keep the mind and to keep the flesh under control is absolute, or we will be disqualified as Christ's ambassadors. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, it says in the text, "But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Wow. You see, this is so important. The first thing I believe we need to know today is that one of the most important things you do is think. It is indeed. Your thinking can be profitable or it can be futile. You are a master. Listen, you are a master of your thoughts. I had an old preacher tell me many years ago, he said, "You can control your thoughts." Many people don't realize that. Their mind is like a pinball machine. Bing, 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 bing. Amen. And so you can think good or you can think evil. The choice is yours. You know, it's an amazing thing about somebody that's jealous of somebody. That person they're jealous of can't do anything right. Just missed a good place over here to say amen. You cannot think, listen, you cannot think both good and evil at the same time any more than you can go east or west at the same time. How many know you can't go west and go east at the same time? It can't happen. And so it is, God has given us this wonderful thing called the brain and the mind, and yet in that place, much has been, many breakthroughs, medicines, science, penicillin, but many wars have come as a result of the human thoughts. Many churches have suffered. Many people have suffered. Every thought, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, are those on the screen? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, casting them down, it's a choice. And then he says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have a choice in it. And that's a revelation to most of humanity today, because we fall prey to the devil and the lies of the devil, and he takes us wherever he would have us to go. So this is so true today. You say, what can I do about that? Let me tell you something. Studying God's word with the Spirit's illumination, I tell you today, forms the mind of Christ. Amen. That Bible that you have, reading it, getting a good study Bible, King James Study Bible, pretty good. There's so many sources. Studying God's word with the Holy Spirit illuminated, listen, it forms the mind of Christ. So that when these things come, we have the ability to recognize them and as being from God or not from God. But just before that one verse out of 2 Corinthians 10:5, just before that it says, we have weapons of war and they're not carnal. These weapons of war are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. That's where it all happens. That's where it all happens. I saw this thing about Facebook this past week, and the two men who formed and created, invented Facebook, and they said, we knew that it would be an addiction. And the man who was interrogating them was Tucker Carlson. He said, you mean like OxyContin or some other drug? They said, yes. We knew it would be an addiction, but we're billionaires and we're glad for that. Well, thank God I'm not bound by Facebook. And I'll pray for the rest of you. Amen. I'd be ashamed to ask a show of hands how many have Facebook. Oh, I'm talking to my family. I'd be ashamed of how many people would say. Preach on, Jones. And they said, we knew that people would be addicted to it. I've heard every excuse in the world. Amen. You ever talk to somebody? I'm going to chase this one little rabbit. You ever talk to somebody who smokes cigarettes or snuff, chew snuff? Well, they got 1,000 reasons why their grandpappy and their uncle lived to be 102 and he smoked. Yeah, my is right. So how you choose to think, you can think the following kind of thoughts: righteous or unrighteous. Clean or unclean, moral or immoral, honest or dishonest, pure or impure, true or untrue, noble or ignoble, just or unjust, lovely or ugly, good or bad, virtuous or corrupt, praiseworthy or unworthy. Psalm 119:11 says these words, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What a promise. So you always sin in thought before you sin in word or deed. That's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. Isaiah says in the text that we read, Isaiah 55, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy, thank God for that, upon him and our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. It's a matter of simply turning to God. Listen, nobody can live a righteous life and think unrighteous thoughts and have a righteous life at the same time. It won't work. That's right. You can forsake those unrighteous thoughts, the Bible says, and return to the Lord, and He will abundantly pardon when we turn to the Christ of the cross, when we trust in what He did. He took everything, including our mind, upon Himself. He bore our sins upon Himself, every thought, everything, and when we turn, He will abundantly pardon. That's why we can go out of this place today free. That's why we can live free all week. That's why we can know every mind and every will of God. That's why God builds His kingdom through us when we watch out for what we're thinking. A thief is a thief because he thinks like a thief. We had a man in our church years back. He robbed at least 12 banks in this town. Crack cocaine helped him. Don't tell me drugs don't alter a person's head or their mind. It does. A thief thinks opportunity thieves. A liar is a liar because he thinks like a liar. An adulterer is an adulterer because he thinks like an adulterer. Matthew 5:28 is a very convicting verse. It says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That's why porn is such a horrible distraction in a marriage and such a horrible weapon against a good life. It is an addiction. It is something that has to be faced dead on. But you know what? I'm talking to the choir. I'm talking to everybody, not just the choir. There's some here today. You're bound, tormented. It's worked its way into your life, into your mind. It's worked its way into your home, into your children, into your family, into your marriage, into your destiny. And it's all because of the thoughts. For as he thinks in his heart, Proverbs 23:7, so is he. So is he. As he thinks in his heart, that's who he is. Many years ago, there was a Bible college in England, in Great Britain. Man that was a pioneer of full gospel and Pentecostal movement named Howard Carter. And they had a prophecy that came forth that shook that prayer meeting. And the prophecy said, the thoughts that you're thinking are audible in heaven. What a convicting word is that. What a revelation. The thoughts and the intents of the heart. An amazing thing. For as he thinks in his heart, so it admonishes us to keep our thought processes active and open to the voice of God. That's why some people have an ear for God. That's why some people can hear him say, this is right. This is the way. Walk in it. I've pastored for many years. I don't have a doubt I've heard from God. In spite of some people that think they hear over me concerning the will of God. But a leader is like Trump. He just does what he does. Because he knows what he knows. And because he's heard what he's heard. And that makes the difference. That's the difference that makes the difference. His thought life is active and he's open. This is why Peter, when he failed miserably, denied the Lord and cussed and carried on like a heathen. Denied Jesus when he's going to the cross. But suddenly Jesus told him, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows twice. Suddenly he's walking through there and in the background he hears something that brings his mind back to the words of Christ. Friends, I'm telling you today that God wants our minds active. He wants our ear open to God's voice. Get past our own voices and our own thoughts and get back to him, to the voice of God. If you will hear his voice today, Hebrews 3:7, if you hear his voice, he helps us in business. He helps us in families. He helps us in church life. He helps us in our destiny. He helps us with finances. He helps us in every area of our... He's the helper, the comforter. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to help us if we'll keep our minds active and our ears open to His voice. Hallelujah. How many times we've missed God and gone our own way and paid for it. Amen. You better think twice before you marry that girl. You better pray about that. You better think twice before you marry that guy. You're going to pay. Do your homework. Ask a pastor. He may just shake his head. That means don't do it. I've warned them. They go head on anyway. That's the truth. And then I've seen some make some good choices, thank God for that. And suddenly that rooster began to crow, and he heard God. How? Because he loved the Lord. He said, I prayed for you, Peter, that you wouldn't lose your faith. Satan has desired to take you down and sift you as wheat. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Peter didn't fail, but his faith did. Oh, I'm telling you today, that rooster crowed, and when he crowed, he began to weep tears as he came. And he came before God and said, please forgive me. There's someone that'll make history. There's somebody here today that God will use. There's someone that God will be willing to use even though they have failed, and make them an instrument of revival. An instrument of blessing. Today, the Holy Ghost saith, if you will hear His voice, when you think unhealthy thoughts, Isaiah 55:7 says, repent. Change your mind. So, well, I can't. Yes, you can. I've tried. Yes, it won't. It'll work. And then He says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That in the mind, the perfect, acceptable will of God begins to go forth. God gave us that ability. That's why so many people suffer in poverty, because they have a poverty mind. Pastor Paul said, they're not grateful. All they can think is, this is wrong. I need, this is wrong. But I can tell you today, a prosperous mind. I would that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul, your mind, your will prospers. There's something that happens when we say, God, you're with me. You will not fail me. I'm believing and trusting you. Amen. Thank God for this woman. She stayed with me through deep water, riding through. Glory to God. And old cars were blow by, come up through the floorboard, blow by. Some of you folks don't know what that is. You're driving these new cars. But I'm telling you something. This was an old 53 Chevrolet that I paid about $35 for. And that thing just, that old blow by, come up through the floorboard. We had to roll the windows down even in the winter so we could breathe. She look over here, look over there at me with those big brown eyes, saying, what are you doing to me? I said, well, don't worry about it. It ain't always going to be like this. It ain't always going to be like this. It ain't always going to be like this. God's got a superior plan. God's got a plan. Where's his start? He starts in the head, believing in the mind that with God all things are possible. He supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory. He is the ever-living miracle God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He's never failed one person. He's never failed one family. You could turn it around. How can I? Simply, he says, return to the Lord. Let him forsake his thoughts. Repent. Be transformed. This is possible. This is a positive act. It's a positive act. Hallelujah. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then I leave you with a verse that is so wonderful. Everyone here should know it. And that's Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 11. Let's say it together. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Isn't that good? That's how God thinks about you. I think that's wonderful. That's what God's thinking right now about you. He has good thoughts. And we can do something about the thoughts that we have. Amen. Praise God. I have a video that I've watched about 3 or 4 times. And I'm always listening. I know that many of you are always listening for something that God has to say concerning His will for our lives. And if we're not careful, we let our feelings override God's word and God's will for our lives. Amen. Sometimes we can even let our own disgusting hurts overcome God's will for our lives. I don't know where we ever got this idea that our feelings would never be hurt, and we'd never have any challenges or never have any hurts if we do God's will. Do the history, do the math. The history is that there's some things that come to us that we didn't ask for. We have Ben and his wife here today. Wonderful testimony of God's grace. I know he doesn't mind me using him as just a quick word. Doctors didn't give us any hope. Every counselor, every shrink, pinhead, what do you call them? Head shrinkers. Dad called them head shrinkers. Head shrinkers. I don't know where they ever got that term. They all said, all the counselors, he'll never do anything. He'll never read. He'll never drive. He'll never be able to get married. He'll never be able to do this. He'll never do. My wife asked him at a school one time, there were about 11, 12 intellectual types that were all analyzing everything. And she said, can you tell me one thing he can do? They just sit there like a knot on a log, just sit there with their heads down. I'm telling you something. Look to God. Believe God. Face the impossible. Face the impossible. Face the impossible and believe that God can. And if God can do it, let every man be a liar. And thank God today he's married. It hadn't been easy, but he's married and he's got a wonderful family. And Martina's here. She's a wonderful woman. Thank God. He's in college making A's in graphic design. And you always got these naysayers and people that are predicting something. Predicting, oh, can't do this, can't do that. Oh, that ought to just stir us up. That ought to just stir us up. When they say you can't, prove them wrong. Amen, prove them wrong. God will bless you. He'll help you. He's the healer. You say, what if he don't? What if he does? You ain't going to lose anything by praying. But you'll lose a lot by going to those doctors. And that's fine. We believe in doctors. A lot of folks be dead. But thank God for Jesus. When the doctor has something to say, God has another word. Oh, thank God. I want you to see this quickly. It's a blessing. And I want you to notice that when he comes to the part where he says, it wasn't an easy thing. And that the devil chatters in your head. That's the bill. That's the bill of goods, right? That's what he does. He chatters. There's some here today, even while I'm preaching, he's chattering. Amen. They're thinking. Chatter, chatter, chatter. Instead of saying, shut up. Shut up, devil. I'm hearing God. This preacher's preaching the word. Let's see what this guy has to say here, Chad. Those lights probably need to go off.
Lesson number one. Never believe a prediction that doesn't empower you. When I was born, the doctors told my parents that I would be dead within the first 24 hours of my life. 35 years later, all those doctors are dead. And I am the only doctor that remains. Never believe a prediction that doesn't empower you. How many predictions have been thrown at you your whole life? If you believe predictions that do not empower you, you will wither away and die. Either physically die or your spirit will die as you just walk around the world like a carcass that is just following the masses. You will be given a lot of titles in your life. You will be told so many different things. You must only listen to that which empowers you. I have a belief that has served me in my life, and that is that everyone is rooting for me to win, even those that do not know it. And I am not here today to tell you that I have had adversity in my life, and so therefore I know what you're going through. I don't have a clue what any of you are going through in your lives. I did not grow up in your neighborhoods, more than likely. I did not have your set of parents, nor do I live in your body. I have not had the events that you've had happen to you. I can tell you I am only an expert on one thing, and that's how to be me. And I do it well. But it's not come easily. I've gone through things that I don't wish upon anyone in this room. I've had metal rods pulled out of bone marrow while I was awake. I've had jaw infections where teeth had to be extracted, and I can no longer chew my own food. I have to get up every day and be showered and cared for physically by another human being. Fortunately, she's a gorgeous woman that I married. I get stared at everywhere I go, and the moment people meet me, if they don't know a thing about my resume, they automatically, just by the human nature, think to themselves, "Oh, it must be so difficult to be that man." If somebody pities me, they're wasting their time. Because I have chosen a life of strength. And I am here to help you choose a life of strength. But I'm going to tell you, we've talked about drugs here. You know what the worst drug to ever hit the human race is? Pity. The moment you feel sorry for another person, or the moment you feel sorry for yourself, you're hosed. You are totally, completely frozen in potential. We cannot pity ourselves. We cannot pity you. Yes, I get to go home today. Yes, I get to have what many would call freedom, but I'm going to talk to you about freedom, about what I really choose to see freedom as. Because like I said, you cannot believe predictions that do not empower you. The second lesson today is you are not your condition. You are not. I am not disabled. Sure, I'll take the handicap parking privileges. But that does not define me as a man. Not able. I've been looked at and treated my whole life as if I am not able. I have had to rise above and show people that the only disability is one's refusal to adapt. You have to adapt to whatever environment you're in, even if it's prison. And what does adaption look like? I think it looks like celebration. Because when you meet people that are celebrating their life, you want to be around them. You want to learn from them. You want to do business with them. You want to hire them. Look, if you do not want to be seen as a prisoner or a convict when you get out of this, or even while you're in this, then it's an attitude. It is a belief in yourself that you bring value to the human race, no matter what your current condition, title, or stature is. Because if I believe that I'm disabled, I would wither up, I would be shy, I would be insecure, I would be afraid, I would act like I need your help. And the rest of humanity would be okay with that. But I choose something else. I choose to be strong. I choose to be a leader. I choose to have words to move this planet. I'll tell you why I was born. And I hope it inspires you to find out why you were born. I was born to rid this world of insecurity. Because when a human being is insecure, they do stupid stuff. When we feel like we're not enough, we chase external validation and external objects to try to tell us we're enough. Thank you. You are enough. I'll tell you, I made a pledge as a therapist to love all human beings no matter what they've done. Because deep down inside, I've found that every human being just wants to be loved. Even if they're tough, even if they're scary, even if they're vicious, you get them in the right position at the right time, they'll tell you the truth. They just want to be loved. You know who they want the love from the most? Not their moms, not their dads, not their wardens, none of these people. They want to be able to look in the mirror and love themselves. And if you can figure that out, then you're going somewhere. But you cannot feel sorry for yourself. When you feel sorry for yourself, you will wither. But there's a contradiction to feeling sorry for yourself. It's the opposite extreme. It's what I call bullying yourself, beating yourself up, being your own enemy and telling yourself that all those predictions, those negative opinions, they're true, they're right, you're washed up failure, you're not going to amount to anything. Bullying yourself is the most dangerous thing that you could do. You cannot afford to pity yourself. You cannot afford to bully yourself. You have to love yourself. Because the last lesson that I'm going to share with you today, that is, I'm going to teach you what the real prison is. It's not surrounded by barbed wire, electrical fences. The real prisons do not have guards. The real prison's up here. And we all got it. We all have a mind that chatters so often, won't stop chattering. Do you know where your salvation is? It's not outside these walls. I've met so many people that are so extremely successful and famous that are in prison. Mm-hmm. They're stuck in their minds, bullying themselves, pitying themselves. True freedom is dropping down out of that mind. And what my wife has taught me is drop into your heart, into mastering this beating thing that is more than just sending blood to the extremities. What is it doing? It's sending emotional possibilities, infinite possibilities of choice in our behavior, in our life, in our attitude. When you love yourself, whether you're sleeping on a prison cot or in a mansion, whether you have food in your belly or you don't know when your next meal is coming, when you love yourself, when you learn to master your emotions, then and only then are you free. I love you, each and every one of you, and I wish you freedom within these walls. God bless.
Amen. Our musicians would come. When you master your mind, you experience the infinite grace and wisdom of God. That's where it comes. I believe this is a word for all of us. All of us. Can we do something? Absolutely, we sure can. And I believe between this man, Sean, who gets 15,000 to 30,000 every speech, dollars, I believe the word of God. Bring every thought into captivity. Let the unrighteous forsake his or her thoughts. You're thinking of something, a divorce. You're thinking of when you can get the next whatever. You're going to do this, you're going to do that. Forsaking and turning to God and saying, Lord, I choose to trust you. I choose to trust you. Don't throw your life away. While our heads are bowed, how many today would just say, you know what? I need to know that I am saved. Please remember me in prayer. I want to know that I am right with God. I need the Lord. Just raise your hands. Would you just raise them up and slip them up all over and just put them up and put them right back down? Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. There are others today who would like to make a real choice about thoughts. And I don't believe it would be wrong. I believe it would be right to take action and bring those issues to the Lord. If you don't want to come out of your seat, but wherever you are, there are others that like to take action. They're saying, I'm getting aggressive with myself. It may not be easy. The enemy doesn't give up easy, folks. The enemy doesn't give up easy. He continues to chatter, but you can beat it. You can defeat. Jesus paid it all on the cross. It can be done. He didn't die in vain. He died so that we would be free indeed. Let's stand, shall we, together and across this assembly.